Stillman and Company is delivered by TriStar Moving. TriStar Movers with five-star service. We are live from the Hillside Medical Games Studios, and you can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every day. Our video streaming is brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry, Caroline Fenton, Adam Vingan, and for Jared Stillman today. Happy Bobby Bonilla Day, everybody.
And happy Rick DiPietro Day, too.
That also Canada Day.
And Canada Day.
So many exciting days happening today. I mean, a lot of times I wake up and don't necessarily think about how I don't have $1.2 million going into my bank account. But July 1st every year definitely hits harder than others. But the biggest news throughout college football, really the biggest news in sports in the past 24 hours, is that USC and UCLA will enter the Big Ten in 2024. And that has so many repercussions, not just in the Pac-12, not just in the Big Ten, but throughout college football as a whole. Because the way that college football has been trending is it's going to be the pros. And it's one of those things that once Texas and Oklahoma joined the SEC, it was almost like trying to, you know, pushing out the toothpaste out of the tube. You can't put it back in. Once those moves are made, then every other college football program is looking at themselves and is looking at their conference and saying, okay, what is the best possible move for us? But there are big repercussions in the SEC, because I think now it's come down to, it's no longer the Power Five. It's no longer the Power – it's not going to be the Power Four. It's the Power Two between the SEC and the Big Ten. And I've seen so many scenarios and just almost like a snowball effect of what can happen as a result of USC and UCLA entering the Big Ten, because that is not just an isolated incident. I think every college football fan is looking at, okay, which team is next? Which conference is next? Who is scheming things behind the scenes in order to make their payday a little bit larger? It's not about what's best for my conference. It's about what is best for me. It's about which move is going to line my pockets the best. So everyone is looking at the Big Ten and the SEC to see who's making the next move. And there can be some other massive moves that are going to be made in the SEC. But I think we're all looking at the big guys in this scenario. You're looking at Ohio State. You're looking at Michigan. You're looking at Alabama, Texas A&M, Georgia. You're looking at the biggest teams in these conferences and, you know, a yearly Alabama-Ohio State matchup. That's a huge matchup. That is a marquee matchup. A yearly Michigan and Georgia matchup. I mean, that's a sexy thing to look at if and when inevitably college football expands into a super conference, or if and when inevitably the Big Ten and the SEC combine and they break off of the NCAA. I mean, and everything is on the table at this point. But we're focusing on the big names, you know, the sexy franchises. But what we haven't talked a lot about is how does this affect the little guys? Because when we talk about NIL, or at least when I talk about NIL, I always reference the fact that the big will get bigger and the small will get smaller. Alabama and Texas A&M and Georgia and Ohio State and Nebraska and Michigan, those big-time college football properties, they have plenty of money to go around. Their pot of cash to throw out for NIL deals is much larger than that of Indiana or that of, let's say, a Vanderbilt. We brought this up with Jason Fitz yesterday, and he brought up a very fair point about how does this affect Vanderbilt? Will this essentially push Vanderbilt out? And I made the argument that there's no way that Vanderbilt will be out unless Vanderbilt decides to leave on their own accord. The SEC just signed a $3 billion contract with ESPN and Disney for the rights to not just the SEC as a whole, but really just the 2:30 SEC primetime game. Vanderbilt gets the same share of that money, gets the same share of the pot that Alabama does. It doesn't matter if Vanderbilt goes 0-12. Vanderbilt gets a 14th of the $3 billion deal that the SEC signed with Disney. So why would Vanderbilt voluntarily back out of that deal? But Sportico, John Wall Street of Sportico tweeted this earlier today, and it said, I talked to somebody in the know this morning about the shifting college sports landscape. Two big takeaways. One, this is ultimately all about guaranteed seats in the expanded college football playoff field, which is something into a completely different part of this that I do want to get into, because I think this has major college football playoff repercussions, and I think it makes a college football playoff expansion almost inevitable. But the part here that I want to focus in on is schools like Vanderbilt, Northwestern, and IU are not guaranteed to have a seat when the music stops. And I look at that and I wonder why. Because I've already laid out, why would Vanderbilt leave? You know, Vanderbilt, although they get stomped by pretty much every SEC team that they play every year, Vanderbilt doesn't care. Vanderbilt has shown that they do not care. They're not going to put the money into the Vanderbilt football program, the same amount of money at least, that an Alabama or an LSU or a Texas A&M would. So they're not going to compete. It's the most difficult conference in college football. Of course you're not going to compete when making your football team better is not a top priority. But why would Vanderbilt step away from the cash cow that is the SEC and the cash cow that's only growing? You add Texas and Oklahoma into the mix. The SEC has been in talks with Disney and with ESPN in order to adjust that deal and to make that deal even larger. So let's say you're looking at a $4 billion deal. That's even more money in Vanderbilt's pockets. And you would say, okay, well, why doesn't the SEC just kick Vanderbilt out? Because a super conference with Ohio State and Michigan and Alabama and all of these big-time programs is a lot more attractive with just big-time programs, when there's no quote-unquote cupcakes on your schedule, where there's no quote-unquote guaranteed wins on your schedule. And I think that there are a lot of SEC teams that look to Vanderbilt and say, well, that's an easy W. Because the SEC would have to give Vanderbilt an exorbitant amount of money. How much? I have no idea. But I have to assume that there is something written into contracts, and since this contract was just signed and hasn't even started, it'll start, I believe, in the 2024 season. Since it was just signed and hasn't even started, I have to believe that the SEC would have to pay Vanderbilt back whatever Vanderbilt would have made off of that TV deal. I believe you're looking at about a $40 million fine by the SEC if you decide to leave the SEC. Let's say today Kentucky decides no more of the SEC, we want to join the ACC. Hypothetically speaking, Kentucky would have to pay $40 million to the SEC. Now, that's, I think, just the starting point for what the SEC would have to pay out to Vanderbilt in order to just kick them to the curb. I don't think the SEC wants to do that, because you look at all of the moves that the SEC has made over the past few years, it's all about putting money in their pockets, not vice versa. Having Vanderbilt in the SEC, clearly it doesn't inhibit the SEC from making money. The SEC makes plenty of money off of these TV deals. So I don't look to Vanderbilt, and I don't think that the SEC looks at Vanderbilt as enough dead weight in order to pay them the massive payday that it would take in order to essentially kick them to the curb. I also look at Northwestern. I also look at Indiana. I mean, those are, you could look as, you know, some of the weaker programs in the Big Ten. They are not going to leave on their own accord. I don't think that Indiana looks to their football team and says, you know, we're looking to find a way that we can win. I think that the moves over the past few weeks have shown that college football teams aren't necessarily looking to win anymore. They're looking to make more money. So when it comes to Vanderbilt, and I see the Sportico report, I don't see any scenario in which Vanderbilt is left without a seat in this game of musical chairs that's being played in college football.
Unless I'm mistaken, I can't recall a time when a conference kicked a member out. So I
don't think it's unheard of.
Right.
But I don't think it doesn't happen very often because of the massive payday.
Right. And where would Vanderbilt go? You know, we know that Vanderbilt, with some exceptions, does not put a lot of emphasis on its athletic programs in terms of the money it spends to fund those programs and to strengthen those programs. So where would Vanderbilt go? Would they go to the Ivy League? I mean, academically, it would make a lot of sense, but, you know, and competitively, it would make sense too, I suppose, because Harvard and Yale and Princeton and schools of that caliber, are not powerhouses in many sports. So I guess Vanderbilt would fit right in that regard. But yesterday I likened it to, you know, a group project in college where, you know, one member of the group didn't put in a lot of the work but still got the A. And that's what how I feel about Vanderbilt. And I guess according to this report, you know, Indiana or Northwestern, that, you know, they may in this realigned SEC get their butts kicked in most sports and probably not win a lot of games, but they're still getting a significant share of this exorbitant amount of money, and what school is going to turn that down, even if it means getting your butt kicked in almost every sport imaginable. So, I have a hard time imagining the SEC actively deciding to get rid of Vanderbilt. I also don't see Vanderbilt leaving either. Because there's a lot of moving parts in this. You know, you look at what's left of the Pac-12 and the Big 12 and the ACC, you know, on the outside looking in at this Big 10/SEC heavyweight bout, so to speak. And I'm sure those schools are going to raid those other conferences. So maybe if the SEC, you know, takes Miami or Florida State, maybe Vanderbilt takes their spot in the ACC. I don't know. The ACC certainly does not make anywhere near as much money as the SEC, but it is a high, you know, it's a conference of high regard, of high standing, mm-hmm. and they do have, you know, several high ranking academic institutions like Duke and Virginia and North Carolina. So it would make sense there too. But, you know, I think I just have a hard time imagining Vanderbilt choosing not to take the money and run if they have that option.
And also to your point, I think there are several teams and schools that are feeling incredibly vulnerable right now with all of these changes. You know, I look to maybe Washington in the Pac-12 or
Oregon.
Really Oregon or essentially every single team in the Big 12. They're feeling incredibly vulnerable and rightfully so because they don't have a permanent home.
Mm-mm.
I think there are several other teams and schools and programs that should feel light years more vulnerable than Vanderbilt feels right now. Because in my opinion, Vanderbilt is sitting pretty in the SEC and they're sitting pretty collecting their checks. And in my opinion, I don't think that there is any scenario in which Vanderbilt gets kicked out of that comfortable seat that they're currently sitting in. But there's another aspect of this. We talk about the teams making money, the schools making money off of these deals. But I think that there's a third party involved in this move of USC and UCLA to the Big Ten that I don't think it's talked about enough. I'll get into that coming up next. 615-737-1025 is our phone number if you have a thought on this. Caroline Fenton, Adam Vingan in for Jared Stillman today. It's Stillman and Company on 1025 The Game.
To me, that this move, I don't know if it spells the end of the Pac-12 or the Big 12 for that matter, but it feels like things are moving more and more towards a Power 4 and not so much a Power 5.
Really more like a Power 2.
Or power
that's
two.
Just the reality of it. It's the Big Ten and the SEC head-to-head dominating the landscape, and everyone else is going to be pretty irrelevant. I mean, that's just the way it is. I don't know how exactly it's going to take shape or when it's going to completely get there, but those two have already been moving away from the rest of the pack financially for quite some time. And you know, when you have a situation where the Big Ten and the SEC schools are going to be getting, you know, $75, $80, $100 million a year each, and, you know, the ACC and the Big 12 are, you know, like in the 30s or whatever, then that's a pretty, you know, then that's a pretty big break. That's not playing on the same playing field. So I don't know how big the Big Ten is going to get. I don't know what the SEC is going to do. Everybody's kind of wondering, but really all of college sports right now is looking to see if they can get on one of those two lifeboats, because if you can't, then you're going to have some problems.
Stillman & Company, Caroline Fenton, Adam Vingan in for Jared Stillman hanging out with you. And that was today on the Midday Show, breaking down what is the future of college football look like. And I completely agree. Is this going to be Power 4 in college football? No, it's not. This is now going to be Power 2. Because I don't see a scenario in which the Big 12 can survive their massive change in Texas and Oklahoma leaving the SEC this past – or leaving for the SEC this past year. And I also don't see a scenario in which the Pac-12 can survive their two biggest properties and the biggest market now leaving the Pac-12. And I think that there's a really interesting element to this that I don't think people are talking enough about. You know, I've said it several times, and I know that this is something that's been, kind of been reverberated around college football spaces in the past 24 hours, but this is a move that's completely motivated by money. And we talk about the schools and the teams when we talk about this, that, you know, USC and UCLA will have a huge payday for this, as will every other team in the Big Ten, as will every other team in the SEC benefiting from Texas and Oklahoma entering the SEC. We think about it in terms of the schools. But there is a huge part of this that at least I know you and I haven't chatted about, Adam, and that's the TV deal side of things. I just mentioned that the SEC signed a $3 billion contract with Disney in order to have the rights to all of SEC properties, all SEC games in terms of college football. So I think that there's another element at play here, and it involves Fox. Because I think Fox was looking at ESPN making these massive moves in college football, most notably signing this deal with the SEC. Because it was where CBS had the rights to the top SEC game of the day, the 2:30, 3:30 kick, the biggest game of the day. So it felt like there was a little bit of college football love spread around. ESPN signs this deal, and essentially ESPN holds the rights to the biggest money-making games in college football, barring, you know, the Big Ten Big Noon kickoff and some Pac-12 games in which Fox held the rights to. But how interesting is a, let's say, hypothetically, you know, Washington State, Oregon State game on Fox compared to a 2:30 kickoff Alabama-Texas A&M game? It doesn't compare. And that's all of the advertising dollars going into ESPN's pockets. I think Fox saw ESPN make this move. I think Fox looked to Texas and Oklahoma, two of the biggest cash cows in college football, entering the biggest cash cow conference in college football, and said, we need to get ourselves a piece of this. I believe Fox is a big catalyst in this situation, and not enough people are talking about it, because I believe Fox probably sat in a room and said, where is there money left to be made? What are our biggest untapped markets, untapped potential that we aren't capitalizing off of enough? Fox's biggest college football property, you could argue, is the Big Ten kickoff. So the Big Ten Big Noon kickoff. I think Fox went to USC and UCLA looking at the biggest, one of the biggest, if not the biggest television market in the country, not just in college football, but period, and looked to USC and UCLA, who probably felt a little bit of discomfort in the Pac-12. I mean, it's not a secret that the Pac-12 is incredibly mismanaged, that the Pac-12 has been increasingly less competitive since, let's say, you know, the Matt Leinart, Reggie Bush, Pete Carroll USC days. I don't remember the last time that I got really excited about a very competitive Pac-12 game. I mean, the Pac-12 has consistently been left out of the college football playoff, barring, you know, Oregon. Was that 2016, I believe, 2014? Whenever they got absolutely stomped by Ohio State in the national championship. I mean, just look at this past college football playoff. Before the Pac-12, there were two SEC teams, a Big Ten team, and a group of five team that got in before any Pac-12 team. So I think that USC, one of the biggest money-making properties in college football, and as well as UCLA, they felt very vulnerable in a conference that has been mismanaged, to say the least, over the past few years. And I look to Fox that says, look, we need to maintain our relevancy and our properties in college football. We need to make the Big Ten a lot more interesting. We have a need for you, and you have a need for the Big Ten. And I think that Fox facilitated this move a lot in order to compete with ESPN. I think that the Big Ten made this move in order to compete with the SEC. And I think that USC and UCLA made this move to protect themselves from the Pac-12. And this was a move that benefited USC, UCLA, the Big Ten, and Fox all alike, because I don't think that the television rights or the television markets are innocent in this situation.
Well, I think the last time, to answer your question, I think the last time that a Pac-10/12 team won the national championship of football would have been the 2004 or 2005 Trojans. So it's been...
2004 was Texas.
Okay.
It was Texas-USC. Texas won that game.
Yes.
But, Ian, do you know the last time a Pac-12 team won a national championship? Because that was the very dominant USC team.
It's been at least 15 years.
It has to be the USC, I would think.
I mean, I feel right. I mean, I don't know. I feel bad. I'll look it up. I feel bad for the Pac-12 just because of, you know, as we were talking about before, you know, what teams are of interest to the casual fan that are remaining in the Pac-12. I mean, Oregon has been good, and when they're good, you might want to watch them, mostly because they wear ridiculous uniforms. Washington, whatever. But like Utah, Colorado, like if you're not an alum of those schools, then who cares? And
The Pac-12 has given no college football fans reason to care.
Yeah, USC 2004.
Yeah. Oh,
there you go. Shows how much I know about college football. There you go. I'll take that any day of the week. But the when you look at TV rights deals, I mean, it's amazing how much these media companies pay for these things. I mean, I remember when the NHL, when ESPN and Turner replaced NBC as the NHL rights holder, the money that ESPN and Turner paid for the NHL versus the NBC was just night and day. So if Fox wants to get into a ratings war with ESPN, which we know that they do, I see your logic for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I think that Fox, understanding how much money is in college football, and that's really why all of these moves are being made, is because there is so much interest and so much money in college football. And I think Fox saw themselves being left out of the conversation because ESPN was just dominating all of these major moves. And it makes sense on all the parties involved. For Fox, for the Big Ten, for USC and UCLA. And I have to look at the Pac-12 in this situation and think that this is just another major mismanagement that the Pac-12 has done for itself. And I also look to the statement that they put out in regards to this movement, because it was just so typical Pac-12. Because they issued the statement. Here's what it says. "Well, we are extremely surprised and disappointed by the news coming out of UCLA and USC today. We have a long and storied history in athletics, academics, and leadership, so on and so forth, blah, 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 blah." You are disappointed and surprised? I mean, I don't feel bad, honestly, for the Pac-12 that this move will probably inevitably kill the Pac-12, because shame on them for not being more...
Aware
and not getting ahead of this. And to see the move of Texas and Oklahoma to the SEC and not thinking, okay, well, now what do we do? How do we make our conference better? Where are our shortcomings in the past few years? Why aren't we competing for a national championship? What can we do? It's like the Pac-12 was sitting back and thinking, well, you know, our conference is safe from all of this. And clearly it's not. So I do have to think that the Pac-12 is very much so guilty in this situation for not getting ahead of it and not taking the initiative to protect the Pac-12 and doing what it needs to keep USC and UCLA there, because now they're missing out on a huge payday.
Yeah, and you look at the teams that are left in that conference. We mentioned Oregon and Washington, and you have Arizona and Arizona State, neither of which are college football powers. And you think about which schools could replace UCLA and USC. And could it be San Diego State? Could it be Boise State? Like, neither of those teams. No, with all due respect to Boise, Idaho, it doesn't have the same.
It's not LA.
It's not Los Angeles, you know. And San Diego is a nice place, but it's not Los Angeles. So I'm not sure what moves the Pac-12 can make to remain relevant. They just lost their two most storied universities, their most successful athletic programs, and they're going to probably replace them with, you know, solid mid-major type schools, even though I guess mid-majors don't really exist anymore. But with, you know, Boise State, San Diego State, you know, I'm sorry, that doesn't really interest me very much as a casual watcher of the Pac-12.
615-737-1025 is our phone number if you have a thought on this. We also, the news came out that Sportico reported that this could eventually mean that Northwestern, Indiana, and Vanderbilt could be left without a seat in the SEC and also the Big Ten, respectively. I just don't see a scenario in which that happens. So if you have a thought on that, we'll get to your phones. And also, coming up next, how does this affect the future of the SEC and also the college football playoff? I want to get into that. Coming up next, Caroline Fenton, Adam Vingan, in for Jared Stillman. It's Stillman and Company on 102.5 The Game.
What do we know about these two schools, USC and UCLA, perhaps acting in the same way of approaching the Big Ten about interest in joining their league?
Well, it seems like a very similar pattern. I guess the Big 12 had the blueprint, if you want to call it that. But look, this to me, honestly, also explains possibly why we haven't heard yet about the Big Ten's TV deal, which has reportedly, closing in on $1 billion. And when you're talking about each school in that conference making upwards of $80 to $100 million annually, of course there's going to be interest. And anyone who has followed college football knows that realignment is never over, but this is another shocker that is going to completely alter the college football landscape.
That was Heather Dinich on SportsCenter yesterday, and it's so true. Realignment isn't something that's new to college football. I mean, throwback to the Big East. Realignment is constantly happening in college football. I mean, think about Missouri and Texas A&M joining the SEC in 2012. That wasn't, you know, that was a pretty earth-shattering move at the time. It just feels like realignment is happening at such a more rapid pace, and also with such a bigger implications. You know, it's not just Louisville entering the ACC. I mean, this is USC joining the Big Ten. Like, these are massive moves. But I look to this and I think, okay, what's the next move that's going to happen? How is this going to affect the SEC? How is this going to affect the college football playoff? Because I think that this is just a snowball effect. Once these teams move to the Big Ten, then there's going to be all these other teams and other conferences looking at each other and looking to try and find their new home, a more safe, more stable home, now that USC and UCLA have made their move. But I look to the SEC and I look at a few teams that are probably trying to, you know, scramble and make some calls. And I look to Clemson because I think Clemson is probably sitting pretty in the ACC, knowing that an ACC championship feels inevitable almost yearly. Of course, Florida State has been down over the past few years and has not met expectations per that program's expectation over the past few years, but it is still a big-time college football property. I look at Miami. I look at North Carolina and Duke and several of these other teams in the ACC that are probably feeling a little bit uncomfortable right now. And I do think that they're looking to the SEC to expand. And I think the SEC is going to want to respond to the Big Ten. Because the SEC started this fight. They started this trend whenever Texas and Oklahoma entered the SEC. The Big Ten answered. So who will be the next to answer? I would have to think it would be the SEC. So I'm sure Clemson and Dabo Sweeney is probably knocking on the president of Clemson's door and saying, what are we going to do about this? Because now we need to be part of the puzzle. And I think that Miami and Florida State will also be looking to and exiting, because if Clemson makes their exit, then Miami and Florida State have no value to stay in the ACC. They're going to want to switch to the SEC as well. But there's a few caveats to that. We bring up TV rights, and that's a big part of this here. That's a huge part of the puzzle, because it's really the only thing that's keeping these teams in their conferences is TV deals. That's why Texas and Oklahoma won't come to the SEC until 2025, is because their TV deal with the Big 12 expires that year, and it would be an $80 million fine in order to leave early. The ACC just signed their TV rights deal a couple of years ago, and that runs through 2036, which the fine is going to be astronomical to leave the ACC early. But I don't think that Clemson and Florida State and Miami and these other schools in the ACC are going to be sitting pat until 2036. I also don't think that Greg Sankey is going to be sitting there just waiting until 2036 to acquire Clemson and Miami and Duke and UNC and Florida State, whatever schools that might want to leave the ACC. I don't think they're going to be sitting there, because as we've seen, realignment is happening at an absolute rapid pace. So what happens next? will teams want to leave the ACC? Well, so many teams want to leave the ACC that it's going to be almost negligible to maintain the ACC. And then those teams go to the SEC, that there's enough teams that want to leave to go to the SEC or the Big Ten and find their new homes in the Big Ten. And then TV deals get worked out after that. Because I wouldn't be surprised to see, you know, Syracuse, Boston College, and Pitt want to join the Big Ten. That makes the most sense geographically, at least. But I guess geography is, you know, doesn't matter anymore. Since, you know, UCLA will play probably the first game ever in snow in 2024. And I look at Georgia Tech or Wake Forest, Florida State, Virginia Tech, Clemson, all of those, at least geographically speaking, make sense to join the SEC. And I think Greg Sankey is looking at Clemson and the amount of success that they've had over the past couple of years. The fact that Clemson is now a very, very hot ticket in college football, and Greg Sankey wants a piece of that. He looks at Miami, who just signed Jaden Rashada, which is one of the top quarterbacks in the country, and he wants a piece of that as well. He's looking at Florida State as well, all big money making teams, and Greg Sankey wants a piece of that. So I do wonder which domino will be the next one to fall. The ACC entering the Big Ten and the SEC, and will they be able to navigate the TV deal in order to make those deals happen? I think that's 100% on the docket, and it's going to be interesting to see the first domino that falls.
You know which university is the wild card in all of this? I don't think we've talked about them yet. Notre Dame.
That is a very interesting
what,
point.
What is Notre Dame going to do? Because they are the independent, right? You know, I feel like if the SEC or the Big Ten were to want to, you know, strike the fatal blow, it would be to somehow acquire Notre Dame. And, you know, I'm reading this from ESPN. It says that Notre Dame needs a home for its non-football sports. Currently, that's the ACC. Mm-hmm. Additionally, Notre Dame currently has a deal with the ACC stating that should the school join a conference full-time, it must be the ACC. But what happens if the ACC's existence is threatened by a move to super conferences? The second is that the Irish need a path to the football playoff. In the current landscape, that path exists, and Notre Dame has made it to the playoff twice already, and most expansion models would likely make that path even easier. So, you know, and Notre Dame has its own television deal, right? Like with NBC?
With NBC, yeah.
They, you know, I don't know how that would work with that. I don't know if NBC would, or whichever conference acquired Notre Dame, would also get a piece of the NBC deal. I don't know how that would work. But I feel like Notre Dame is the real wild card in all of this. Because, yeah, the SEC could take Clemson, could take Miami, it could take Florida State, Duke, Carolina, whatever. But, you know, I feel like Notre Dame is the one thing that could ultimately decide the quote-unquote winner of this turf war. If one of those conferences can convince Notre Dame to leave its independent status and become a full-time member of one of those conferences.
And I think it's really interesting that you mentioned Notre Dame, because it is a very interesting wild card in this entire situation. And I think it has everything to do with the college football playoff and if/when it inevitably expands. And that's what I want to get into coming up next. What will the college football playoff look like? And how will it be decided? And will Notre Dame feel a push by these conferences to eventually join a conference? I want to get into that coming up next. Plus, your phone, 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Caroline Fenton, Adam Vingan in for Jared Stillman. It's Stillman and Company on 1025 The Game.
If you're the ACC commissioner, Jim Phillips, you've been on the job a year and a half, you have to be beside yourself, because you helped kill the CFP. And now he's got to deal with the survival of the ACC, because they can't, obviously, unless they can talk Notre Dame into joining on the football side, and they have had no success whatsoever in that. And even if they get Notre Dame, they still have a weakened position. This was really a body blow. This wasn't the SEC. This was one of their alliance members. Remember last August when the Pac-12, the ACC and the Big Ten all joined together to form this alliance to try to get better scheduling and a different voting block.
That was Paul Feinbaum on what the ACC is going to do. And he mentions Notre Dame. And Adam, that was a point that you brought up last segment about what is Notre Dame going to do? Are they going to feel pressure to join a conference? They do have that TV deal with NBC. And here's my take on it. I think Notre Dame is sitting pretty, and they're totally fine being an independent right now. But I do think the way that things are heading in college football is we're heading toward either a Power Two or a super conference or just like two massive, whatever that might be. It's changing. And there's going to be, you know, 30-team conferences, and it's going to just be a massive volume of teams in certain conferences. But until that happens, I don't think that Notre Dame is going to feel any sort of pressure because, yeah, realignment has happened in the past, and Notre Dame has never felt that pressure to join, at least on the football side of things. So unless or when that day comes, super conferences do form, I don't think Notre Dame's going to feel pressure. But I do think that there's another element of it here, and that's the change of the college football playoff. Because now that you have two 16-team conferences in the Big Ten and the SEC, once USC and UCLA join and Texas and Oklahoma join, then the college football playoff is going to look drastically different. And the way that the college football playoff expansion has been suggested is the 12-team playoff, and there will be five guaranteed spots, and that will be the conference champion of each Power 5 school. And then there will be seven at-large bids into the 12-team college football playoff. And I believe there's either four or five teams that get a first-round bid in the college football playoff. I forget exactly what the breakdown is. But those five Power 5 conference champions will be automatically into the college football playoff. But now those things have changed so much because that college football playoff draft of an expansion happened before Texas and Oklahoma said that they were going to join the SEC, whoa, and UCLA and USC were joining the Big Ten. So things look drastically different now. So I think that the SEC and the Big Ten are going to push so much for at-large bids because why would the SEC want spots for conference champions for, you know, a spot reserved for the Pac-10, I guess now it's going to be, for a 10-team conference rather than the SEC with 16 teams. So the SEC and the Big Ten are going to really fight for, you know, no conference champion is going to be guaranteed a spot into the college football playoff, which is what is constructed now. I mean, you look at two SEC teams in the college football playoff, so there's no guarantee for a conference champion. But with a 16-team conference, they're not going to want one spot reserved for a certain conference. So I think that would depend on Notre Dame deciding on what they're going to do. Because if that ends up being what happens, where it's just 12 at-large bids, then Notre Dame would feel no need to join a conference. Before all of this happened, before the realignment happened, I thought that that was going to be a big push for Notre Dame to join a conference because they would want to compete for that spot, that guaranteed spot in the college football playoff. Let's say Notre Dame joined the ACC, they win the ACC. That's a more obvious, more paved road for Notre Dame to be in the college football playoff. But if it's just at-large bids, then I don't think Notre Dame feels any sort of pressure. But they will feel pressure if all of the top teams and the biggest names and biggest properties in college football join one of two conferences. I do think that we see Notre Dame eventually join a conference.
Which would be weird.
Weird.
In football.
And I do think that there are several Notre Dame fans that would just be gutted if that did happen. But, I mean, things are changing. It's not like Notre Dame would be joining just any other conference, any other Power 5 conference. It would be in extenuating circumstances.
So Heather Dinich reported on ESPN about how this could affect this realignment could affect the college football playoff. She said, even in their bulked up status, it's hard to imagine the SEC and Big Ten not wanting an expanded postseason playoff, especially if they can get more teams into a bigger field and in turn more revenue from it. But will their vision change for what it should look like? That answer might depend on any further changes. Multiple sources said Thursday this isn't the end of realignment, that it will only trigger more moves. And remember, the Pac-12 recently scrapped divisions to pit its two best teams against each other in the conference championship game to better position itself for the playoff. Without USC and UCLA and pending any other exodus, its two best teams are defending conference champion Utah and Oregon. In prior CFP expansion talks, the Pac-12 wasn't wed to the notion of automatic qualifiers, but it's fair to ask if this might change that stance because, you know, does Utah belong in the college football playoff?
And you could make the argument that they would be one of the best 12 teams in college football, and mm-hmm. then they would get an at-large bid. But it doesn't make sense to guarantee those spots for the conference champions whenever Utah is competing against Colorado or Washington, mm-hmm. no disrespect to those schools, while Ohio State is competing against USC, UCLA, and Michigan. It just doesn't make any sense anymore with realignment. But let's go to your phones. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Chris from Atlanta texts in and says, one interesting question I have about some of these school statuses, why don't the private schools all band together to form their own conference and let the public ones do so as well? So looking at some of the private schools, ACC, SEC, Big Ten, at Vanderbilt, Wake Forest, Duke, Syracuse, Northwestern, is Georgia Tech private?
I don't believe it is.
Okay. But, you know, looking at those private schools, none of those that I just listed are powerhouse football programs. Of course, Wake Forest had a good year this past year. Northwestern had a pretty good run, I believe, in 2020. Mm-hmm. But none of those schools, if you see that on, if you're a college football fan of Alabama or Texas A&M or whatever that may be, if you see those teams on your schedule, you're not really shaking in your boots. So it doesn't make sense for all of those private school teams to band together because they would be leaving big-time college football conferences to join together, and those TV deals wouldn't be even nearly as close to what the TV deal would be for the currently existed or currently constructed SEC or Big Ten.
Right. There's no I'm thinking in the ACC, there are no private school powerhouse teams. Clemson is public, if I'm not mistaken.
I believe it is.
So,
but you got Duke and Wake Forest. Those are the two private schools.
Those are private.
I believe in
yes.
the ACC.
Carolina is public. NC State is public. I believe Georgia Tech is public.
Boston College,
Virginia Tech.
Florida State, Miami, all public.
Yeah, so I guess Duke and Wake Forest in neither of those teams are known for their football programs. They're known more for their basketball programs. And then you would know better than me the SEC private schools, if there are
I believe just Vanderbilt.
Okay. Well, there you go. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm sorry, but Duke, Duke, Wake Forest, and Vanderbilt are not maybe if they compete in a spelling bee, I'll be interested in watching that. But
yeah,
not
the all-academic bowl would be really fun between these schools,
yes.
But I don't think the TV money is there for
not the Duke's Mayo Bowl.
The mathletes.
No. The all-academic bowl might be more entertaining than the Duke's Mayo Bowl.
Yeah, I'd watch a spelling bee. I do love me the spelling bees.
Yeah, especially when they have the spell-off that they did this time around.
Oh, yeah, it's a
blast. But yeah, I just think there aren't enough good private schools with football programs to do that. I feel like it would be incredibly lopsided.
Boston College is private.
Okay, good
but,
to know.
Okay, but still, that's another one.
Right,
they're still
a 500 team every year, thereabouts.
Right. Andrew from Dover texts in and says, I say you get all your top schools split up into the SEC and the Big Ten, let them play out their seasons, then set up an NFL-style playoffs for each side, and the Big Ten champion plays the SEC champion for the national championship like you would the Super Bowl. I think we're getting really close to that already. I think that, you know, as the SEC and the Big Ten will inevitably continue to expand, I think you're going to see an NFC-AFC-style playoff in college football
mm-hmm.
because you're getting all of the best teams in college football in these two conferences. I think it's going to resemble the NFL more so than it ever has before.
Well, how many teams would you invite?
There's six teams in each.
So would you invite the top eight?
You could split up the ACC into the Big Ten and the SEC. So that would be, what, 20-something teams in each? And so that would be even bigger than the NFC and the AFC.
Right.
So I don't think that we're too far from that, that the college football playoff will resemble, if it does expand to 12 teams, it will resemble the NFL a lot more than it ever has in the past.
Yeah, and I think you were talking about this the other day, about how it seems that with these conferences joining forces, that it's going to end up being, you know, a more of an NFL-style situation.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, perhaps that makes things more interesting for the viewers with those gigantic TV deals that ESPN and Fox have, and I guess NBC in the case of Notre Dame. But it's, yeah, I mean, I really, you know, it all sounds great, you know. It gives us something to talk about in during the slowest time mm-hmm. of the sports calendar. But I want to see it in practice. I want to see what happens once these conferences start playing with realignment and how they ultimately determine it. Because once we know what the expanded college football playoff would look like, then we could start fantasy booking, you know, matchups. And that's, I think, will be the best part of it.
Will from Nashville texts in and says, there is zero chance that Vanderbilt leaves. Why would Vanderbilt leave? They wouldn't. The SEC gets whispers from the Big Ten and other conferences that they are academically inferior. Vanderbilt gives the SEC academic street cred and obviously the only team top 15 academically.
Yeah. I mean, that's what we were talking about. It doesn't make sense for Vanderbilt for multiple reasons to leave. I mean, you would hope that, you know, iron sharpens iron, so to speak. So if more established athletic universities enter the SEC, perhaps that gets Vanderbilt to raise its game a little bit when it comes to recruiting and NIL and trying to be competitive, so they're not just getting trashed every Saturday afternoon. But, you know, that the money is the money. It's all about the money. I see no scenario where Vanderbilt either leaves on its own accord or gets kicked out.
And I don't either. But to Will's point, I don't think anyone cares about the academics. I mean, Vanderbilt is a wonderful school. I'm not saying that it's not. But I don't think that the SEC getting with a $3 billion deal with ESPN and only getting more money in their pockets because of college football is thinking to themselves, well, you know, Vanderbilt is a very, very good school academically. They don't care.
They're not worried about the academics.
I always laugh about this one graphic that I saw on Twitter. I believe it was Texas football, and it said best team GPA in school history, and it was like 2.73. They don't care about academics. They care about football. That's where the money is coming from. Nobody cares if your GPA is a 4.0 or a 2.2. They care about the football. They care about the product on the field. I don't think the SEC is worried about the academic inferiority of some schools over the others.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
Back to your phones. Bruce is up next on the Big Ten.
Yeah, I it's funny that you, Bruce, brought up the comment that you did, because it's a little bit different with the Big Ten, and I want to bring that to the table. The Big Ten, besides being a sports conference, is also a research consortium. And the Big Ten is only interested in members who are member of the American Association of Universities. There are only 63 of those in the U.S. All Big Ten members, including USC and UCLA, are members of the AAU with the exception of Nebraska. And Nebraska was when they joined the conference. And the reason that's so important to the Big Ten is, besides their work as an athletic conference, they pull resources for research. And I don't know the exact numbers, but the numbers they obtain via research, via the schools that they have, is almost what they get out of their rights deal from the Big Ten network. So, you know, it's interesting when you look at expansion, you say, well, this school might fit in well with the Big Ten. It won't if it's not part of the American Association of Universities. And you go on their website and see those 63 schools that are. Just as a
Thank you for your call, Bruce. And I think that's a very interesting topic that he brings up. You know, if it is a moneymaker, I don't know. I don't know if that's what the Big Ten is going to prioritize. If the Big Ten can see that they can expand to, you know, let's say a few more schools in the ACC or the Pac-12 or whatever that might be, if they see that it'll benefit even more so as a payday, I think that's something that they might be able to bend and break on. I honestly didn't know that was a thing. I have it up here.
As he said, 63 members in the United States and 2 in Canada. So we're looking at potential SEC and ACC schools. Let's see. Well, Vanderbilt is in the AAU. Georgia Tech is.
That would make sense.
Virginia is. Duke is.
So there you go.
Yeah. So
there you go. Then it would make sense.
It would make sense.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Moving on to the professional side of things, looking at the Titans offseason, is there a move that they could make this year that would kind of resemble a move that they made last year that wasn't very popular? I'll break that down coming up next. Caroline Fenton, Adam Vingan in for Jared Stillman, Stillman and Company on 102.5 The Game.